Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Caffeine Before Bed. I am your host, Jackson Lecce, and this week we're going to finish up our mini-series on things young adults should be thinking about as they go into the real world. I know it's a long name, but it kind of gets the point across. So, all that being said, we will finish up this week with a topic on housing with Landon Buteau. Landon will talk more about himself in a minute. But he is a real estate agent from the Seattle area, so he has a lot to share on the topic and some experience and kind of an insight into what we should be thinking about timing-wise and practicality. So, Landon, thanks for coming on to the show.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. Excited to chat with you.
So, a little bit of context for yourself. Can you tell us kind of what you do and what your expertise is?
Yes, well, this is not false humility. I would just pretty quickly correct you that it's not quite expertise yet. Still in the very early stages of learning the mortgage industry. My dad has been a mortgage broker for a long time. And I recently started, about 2 years ago, started working in marketing for him. And am also a licensed loan originator, which just means I'm... You know, I had very, very little knowledge of this coming in, so this may be too much background, but basically just means someone who's licensed to be able to help you get a loan for your house. And so I've been learning that side of things slowly over the last 2 years as well. So that is where I'm at right now.
Well, even that being not expertise, that's a lot more than most of the rest of us have, especially, and I found this, you know, going into the looking at houses and stuff. There's so much to it that isn't obviously apparent.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all this stuff that you have that we don't have that's really helpful, especially coming out of school.
Yeah, it's a good reminder because, I mean, I'm definitely still very new, but I do remember how, how very little knowledge I had before being around it at least a little bit. So it is it's a very complicated world, like you said. So even having a little bit can prove helpful for sure.
Absolutely. So let's start at the beginning. Let's just start a little bit more generally. What are things that coming out of school, so say you're coming out of university and you landed a job, what's the first thing that you should look for? Or maybe talk to a real estate guy about when you start looking for a house?
Yeah. So good question. You know, you talk about starting from the point where you land a job. And I would say this isn't going to be super relevant for everyone. But if there is an interest, if you're in college and you have an interest in real estate, you have an interest in owning a house. I would say start as early as you have an interest by talking to, you can start with someone in the real estate world, a real estate agent if you want, but also specifically talking to someone in the mortgage world. Because if you have an interest in owning a house in the first couple of years out of college, and if it's a high priority, it may impact your job decision. And this was probably a pretty unique thing, but it did for me where I was specifically looking for a job with a salary because I knew that I would be able to get a house much quicker, get a loan for a house much quicker if I was in a salary job versus saying being primarily commission or variable hours or things like that. So it's a long way of saying start early and just talk to talk to someone in the mortgage world if you have an interest. If it's just something that, hey, this would be interesting down the road, but I'm really not committed to it right now, that might be another story. But definitely start early because decisions you make 2 or 3 or sometimes even 5 years ahead of time
have an impact on your ability to get a house when your interest is there. So start early. I'll stop there. I can come back to your question, but I'll stop there if you want to go another direction or follow up.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to bring up something that kind of surprised me, because I know a lot of people, at least maybe it's just a market thing, maybe it's a generational thing, but I think the expectations, you come out of school and you live in apartments for a bunch of years before you can really afford a house.
Yeah.
So I know you brought up, and I know we've talked about this before, that it really is possible to come out of school and maybe not right off the bat, but in the near future, get working on that. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think you're right. I think that kind of is just probably a common consensus. I don't know if it's the most common consensus, but just the common assumption is, yeah, you have to have, you have to have a lot of work experience, or at least 2 years, and you have to have a bunch of money saved up, and you need to have 20% down, which in our area, in the greater Seattle area, is a good chunk of change if you're going to get 20% saved up for just even the most basic house in this area. So it's a good question. And I mean, there's a lot of pieces to helping answer that. But yes, the short answer is it's very possible and not at all uncommon to be able to purchase a house, right out of college, directly out of college, 6 months out of college, a year out of college, whatever. It's based on a variety of factors, but one of them is obviously your cash, your availability of cash for a down payment. And there's most people are probably aware at this point, just because of the broad availability of information, that 20% down isn't literally the lowest down payment you could go with. There are ways to get a down payment for 3% down is pretty common, or 5% down. So on a $500,000 house, 3% down is $15,000. And then you've got other costs on top of that. So ballpark, when people come to me and say, what's the minimum amount of cash in our area for, if $500,000 is the minimum kind of price point I could find, what's the minimum amount of cash I would need to come in? And, if we're talking minimum, if you've got $10,000 or $15,000 cash, we can look at things and see if we could put something together for you. Realistically, it starts to get a lot more realistic and a lot more possible if you can make it to maybe $25,000, $20,000, $25,000. And then you've got a good chance of being able to get into something if you can hit that $30,000 threshold. So that's the cash piece. And then there's the income piece, because lenders need to see not just that you have cash available, but that you have reliable income that they can count on to help repay the loan. And so again, there's kind of sometimes a common myth out there is that you need 2 years work history. And there are certain types of work and roles and jobs that require 2 years of proof, but that's it's not necessarily the exception. But there are plenty of cases where you can hop into a job with that 2 years of work history, because a lot of times they'll use high school history if you're straight out of high school, or college history. We did have someone, another loan officers at Cleveland Street had a client who was pretty recently out of high school, bought a house. So just broadly speaking, yes, that you can break that myth that you have to have a ton of cash built up, a ton of time built up, and then specifically you have to look at the specific circumstances to see what works out. But if you have a little bit of cash and you have some reliable income, specifically if you hop right into a salaried position, then it's definitely, and if buying a house is an interest, it's definitely worth looking into, because it could be a very real possibility that you could buy soon.
Well, that's encouraging. I think that's encouraging for a number of reasons, but mostly because, like you said, and we'll give you a chance to talk about it a little bit more later, but just being in the Seattle area is a really expensive place to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, as the listeners know, I go to school in Canada, and unfortunately, it's even worse up here.
Really?
So all of the places that I've actually lived, it is just brutal to try to find anything that's remotely accessible. So, and you mentioned coming out of high school, and I think that's kind of, I don't know. When I was in high school, I wasn't really thinking about finding a house.
Right.
So,
yeah. So I mean, to that point, I mean, that's going to be obviously the exception, and it probably wouldn't be wise for most people to even who are in most situations, it probably wouldn't be wise to take on buying a house. You know, if you're going to college, if you have different things going on, it's just probably not something you can take on. But you know, it depends on your own specific circumstances. So I think the principle there is, yes, it's possible a lot of times earlier than people realize. And specifically, definitely start learning about it. Especially if it's an interest, even if it's not an interest, it should be an interest, in my opinion, of, you know, this is, by and large, just broadly speaking, a proven investment, of real estate and a proven path to financial stability. And so if, you know, you should be interested in it to some degree. And the earlier you can start having conversations and learning what's possible, even if you don't buy right then, or even if you don't take action right then, you can start making plans and figure out if you start planning 2 years earlier, then you'll be able to start that you may be able to push up your opportunity to get into a house sooner.
So then on the topic of wisdom, and this is kind of something I alluded to earlier, but a lot of people go into apartments right out of college and some out of high school as well. But what would your opinions be on apartments? Because I know that you just mentioned the viability of real estate and how that's an investment, and you're kind of getting your money. You're actually putting your money into something you own instead of just, you know, into the vacuous void. But what are your thoughts on, you know, apartment living as maybe you're waiting to be in a position to buy a house?
Yeah, I mean, this is, there are just so many factors that determine what a wise use of your housing money and your living situation, the best setup for your living situation are. And so it's impossible for anyone to give a broad or a universal answer of, and I know that's not what you're looking for, but I just want to be careful to point out that that's not anything that I go on to say.
No, for sure.
Is not, you know, everyone should be doing this, blah, blah, blah. So there are just so many different circumstances that determine the best situation. But I think the one thing that would be unwise is to not be aware of your options when it comes to your largest monthly expense. You know, whether it's renting or paying a mortgage, your housing expense is probably your largest expense. And so I think it's really wise to be aware of what your options are and think critically through beyond just the surface level, through what the impact of each option is. So if you look at, to answer your question, there's an example that I like to bring out sometimes where people talk about, sometimes you'll hear, you need to avoid buying a house and getting a mortgage until you can get to 20% down, because you have to pay mortgage insurance. This is what people say, because you have to pay mortgage insurance if you buy a house for less than 20% down. And mortgage insurance is a cost you will never get back. You'll just be throwing money away. And in isolation, if those were the only two options, is buy a house at 20% down or buy a house before 20% down, I guess that would make sense. But if you really look at your actual options and your alternatives, if you compare the alternative, if your alternative is paying $2,000 a month in rent or $1,500 a month in rent, and you're saying, no, you should never get a mortgage before 20% down because you'd have to throw away $150 of mortgage insurance a month. So therefore you should keep throwing away $2,000 a month. You know, that is obviously a little bit probably exaggerated from real scenarios, but those numbers are fairly realistic. And people will say that sometimes. So my point is, you know, examine your alternatives. And so as far as apartments go, they can be a great blessing. And I try to be purposeful not to bash on apartment living. And, you know, it's a huge blessing to be able to live in a great place with great accommodations without having to worry about all of the aspects that go along with maintaining your own place. You know, it's a huge, huge blessing. And so if that's the best scenario for you, that's awesome. If you have the option to consider an alternative of owning, and then you can quantify how much money of, you know, maybe my mortgage is going to be $3,000 a month and my alternative would be renting for $1,800 a month. Okay, how much money of each scenario am I going to be getting back? I'll be paying interest. I'll be paying homeowner's insurance. I'll be paying mortgage insurance on my mortgage. So I'm losing each of those components. You know, you can call it losing. You can call it paying, investing, whatever. But technically, that's not going into the house. You're not going to get it back. Whereas rent, you know, you're paying all of it away. And so you compare those two things and just financially, which one makes more sense? And then also, which payment can you take on? Because it might be unwise, even if theoretically, you know, you could build equity over the long term with that bigger payment and it makes sense financially, it would be a good investment, even if theoretically that's true. You know, are you in a position where you can commit to a $3,000 a month housing payment? Because if you commit to that and you're not in a position where you can take that on, that can be pretty painful and stressful and just definitely a worse option than renting. So, you know, to your point, you can owning real estate offers a tremendous opportunity, especially when you're going to be making a housing payment somewhere. You know, if your alternative is living for free for a while, for 6 months or something with your parents, then that might be a great option. But if your alternatives are making a big housing payment rent, making a big housing payment owning, you know, you're going to be making a housing payment somewhere. And if you can do that in such a way that you are investing, and it's not an investment in a sense that you're going to sell it in 2 years and get all that money and put it somewhere else. But it is an investment in the sense that you are putting money, you're putting money and time into a resource that is going to pay dividends in the long run, and that you're going to be the beneficiary of that money in a greater way in the long run. If you can do that in a way through owning that you couldn't do through paying rent, and if you're up for what comes with home ownership, I think it's a tremendous opportunity.
So then what you mentioned a couple things in there, but what are some things then therefore that people should know about, you know, maybe looking to buy a house? And I think something you mentioned there at the end, the cost of home ownership that maybe people don't consider when they're looking to buy a house.
Are you talking specifically financial costs or all, you know, one thing I alluded to is. I don't know if I was clear in alluding to this, but just the stress and work. Are you talking about both?
I think both would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's so much that we.
That you can't anticipate.
Up until this point, I've been living either at home where everything's taken care of or at school in a dorm room where everything's taken care of in a different way. So yeah. I don't actually have the responsibility to take care of all these things. So. You know, what are some things? I think we can split this into two. We'll talk about some of the cares and concerns financially and otherwise of home ownership, and then we'll go into maybe some things that people should know or should start thinking about going into the home ownership. And we'll talk about that afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a helpful division. And I want to add one last thing to the last question before I move on.
Go for it.
Regarding apartments. So, and just kind of the financial investment side. One note is when you get a mortgage, you fix your housing cost in for whatever your mortgage term is. And the only reason typically that you would change it is because you are you're moving, or you have a chance to lower it by refinancing to a lower interest rate. And so the advantage there is you're hedging against inflation and just rising costs, whereas apartment costs rise and you have to pay the rising costs. You know, you might be able to get a 1-year lease agreement, but then you have to pay the higher costs the next year. Or when you move around, when you move to another apartment, it's a higher cost there. And so you can't hedge against the rising costs with apartments, whereas you can do that with mortgage. And then another important piece is your interest. This is something that I've learned through my dad, and I didn't realize, and I don't think a lot of people realize, is the interest portion of your mortgage is tax deductible. And this is not tax advice. I'm not a tax advisor. No, all the disclaimers there. But this is a really cool feature of ownership, is that, you know, I think I posted this on LinkedIn recently. I think I paid $20,000 in interest last year on my mortgage, and all of that is tax deductible, which is a significant, you know, it doesn't mean you get $20,000 back. It means that you can knock that off of what you have to pay taxes on, which is a significant difference maker when you're comparing that versus rent as well. One little plug here while we're on it, and then I'll move on to your other question, is we just posted a video on my dad's YouTube channel called Mortgage Mastery Theater. And the video is a clip from an old conversation we had, and I think it's titled My Manifesto on Mortgages, and it's my dad answering all of these questions really effectively and just with great information. So you can check that out. Remind me. Okay, we're back to your other question. Sorry, that was a long tangent.
No, you're good. You're good.
The costs involved in homeownership, was that the question?
Yeah, the costs, both stress wise and financially, that go into homeownership.
Yeah. So I'll try to answer the money part very quickly. So when you get a mortgage, you have to bring your down payment, which I already talked about what that amount could look like. And then on top of that, you have to pay closing costs. Now, sometimes you can get those covered based on how you set up the deal, by the seller, or various ways. But to some extent, you're paying them somewhere. And so you have to pay closing costs. And in our area, for the price point that we're talking about, a first-time home buyer, pretty large loan, smaller down payment. You know, I was surprised to find out that that number of just closing costs for your mortgage can be around $10,000. It can be under sometimes maybe around $8,000, can be over maybe around $12,000 if you're not tweaking your mortgage in any other particular way. So that can be a hefty number to be aware of, and that's why I mentioned the kind of ballpark of getting the $25,000, $30,000. So that's something to be aware of, is the closing costs coming in. And then other costs, basically the breakdown of your mortgage payment is, if you're coming in below 20%, there are four main components. There's the principal and interest component, which is you just have to repay the loan amount every month, plus interest on that based on your interest rate. Then there's mortgage insurance if you're coming in below 20% down, which that, with the numbers that we've been talking about looking in our area, can be, again, all these can be above or below, but it's probably going to be in the ballpark of $100 to $200. depending on your lender. You could be above that, but that's a ballpark per month. And then you've got taxes every month, which typically those are paid as part of your mortgage payment. And again, that can vary. In our area, those in the price point that we've been talking about of, say, $500,000, those might be somewhere from $3,000 to $5,000 annually. Could be more. And then the last component is your homeowner's insurance. So those are the costs involved. Just and then that's not to factor in where if you're comparing a rent versus owning scenario, you know, if your rent includes utilities, then you've got to add utilities on top of that. And then you're paying for also any other repairs that you have to do, any maintenance around the home. So those are, you could probably pretty quickly grab an estimate on those if you're trying to work out real numbers for yourself. But, you know, any number of repairs that come up, or just, you know, you got to get new tools because you have to maintain the house. And so those costs add up for sure. And then that kind of obviously is connected and overlaps with the other costs, which is just the work that goes into it. And if you're going to do less work, then you're probably going to pay more money because you're going to be hiring other people to do it, and you're going to have problems stack up if you don't do the maintenance. So, you know, it's just like anything else where the grass is green, where it's watered, and things that receive regular maintenance stay in good shape. And most people grew up doing chores around their house and they have a sense of what that looks like, but it's definitely multiplied once you're the one responsible for it. And I enjoy it. I don't always enjoy it. There are obviously weekends where I don't want to do the things on my to-do list for the house. But I really do enjoy it, and I love being out there working on my place, and there's a pride and a joy in that. And seeing what it looks like at the end of the day. But yeah, there's you gotta invest time in YouTube to learn how to tweak pipes and change light fixtures and stuff like that, and then obviously just whatever yard work is around your house.
Yeah, yard work is something that I think, I don't know if a lot of us grew up doing, but I certainly did. I remember, just as a side story, I bought my first car. It was a 98 Ford Ranger when I was 14. So it was still 2 years out before I could actually drive it.
Wow.
And so Dad used that in the summers we would haul mulch, and we redid the whole front yard. So there was,
that's great.
Yeah,
certainly. He rented from you?
Aspects of that. Nope. It was a family thing. So he's like, hey, I'm going to use the truck. I was like, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, that's fun, man. I totally blanked on what I was going to ask. Yard work.
Totally good. Yeah, the second part of the question, well, it was kind of another question altogether, was what are some things that people don't know about that you think they should know about maybe going into the process? Because obviously there's going to be stuff that's going to be particular to them and their situation and their job and their house that are all going to need working out. But what are some general things that you think more people should be aware of as they kind of move into this world?
The biggest thing is conversations about it ahead of time. I think that will just be, you know, I think if you're someone who just says, no, I know I can't buy a house right now, so I'm not gonna worry about it. I'm not gonna think about it. And maybe you're someone who's just gonna get discontent if you start thinking about it. So you just decide, I'm not gonna do that. And I get that. But if you can at all, even if you're just in a position where you're like, no, I don't have any money, I'm not making income, whatever, I would encourage you to start thinking about it now. Start asking about it. You don't have to think about it. Just ask about it. Grab coffee with me. Grab coffee with a real estate agent. Talk to someone or watch some YouTube videos, whatever, so that you start to get informed. Because decisions that you make, you know, if you're a sophomore in college, decisions that you're making right now will have an impact, and decisions that you make over the next 2 years will have an impact when you're ready to get to the point where you think you could buy a house. Because you don't, that will protect you from the scenario where you know, for 2 years, for 3 years, you think, yeah, no way, I'm not going to be able to buy, just not even going to think about it. And then you get to the point where, oh, I could buy. And then you have a conversation with someone like me who then tells you, yeah, you're going to have to open a credit card that's going to have to season this way, or this job type. If you had done this different decision 2 years ago, then you would be set up better. And you don't want to be in that situation where you could have done something now that that could have set you up for success. And sometimes it's not even a make or break thing. Sometimes it's something where if you had done this one thing, if you had opened this credit card, if you had not made that credit decision, if you had changed this, if you had waited to make that job change here, or just things that aren't even intuitive at all. If you had done that thing, then, you know, you still can get the house. You could have gotten the house then. You still could get the house now. You could get the loan, whatever. But it massively impacts your pricing. Maybe it's $100 a month different, or $300 a month different, because you went about it that way instead of the other way. So my point is, you know, have a conversation early, as soon as it's on your radar. If I were back in college, a sophomore in college, I wish I would have sat down with my dad and just talked through all of this to see what I could start doing, preparing. And I think I think casting a vision for what's possible would have motivated me, and then getting the information would have made my motivation useful and put it towards useful things that would make an impact on my overall situation. And then specifically, some things that people don't know about to be aware of. Again, talk to, if this is for a mortgage related thing, none of this is, there's very little universal advice that applies across the board. So talk to someone specifically, but definitely get on your radar getting a credit card or two or three, not to use stupidly and irresponsibly, to take on a bunch of debt for things that you can afford or anything like that. Or even, you know, I don't play the points game. I think some people can play it really wisely and do a good job with it, where they understand all the rules and of how their credit company works. And that's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm not talking about doing it for points or anything like that. Open a credit card and use it for $30 a month on, you know, whatever, just eating out, or just your grocery runs, or just filling up for gas, or just that one thing, so that you keep it in use and build up a credit history. Because if you're able to build up your credit score, build up your credit history, that can have a significant impact on your ability to get a house and pricing. That's one thing to be mindful of. And then a big one that was impactful for me and is not going to be the same for everyone else, but is talk to a mortgage professional to see, as you're choosing jobs, as you're making a job decision, what job type would have an impact on your ability to buy a house, what the scenarios would look like. Because there might be a scenario where, you know, you can make, your hiring department is telling you, you can make probably $100,000 a year in this role, but it's 50% commission, or it's almost all commission. But you're very likely to make that much. Whereas the other job that you like almost equally is 80,000 or 90,000, and it's all salary and you don't have much to choose between them. Whereas if you had had a conversation with us, you could realize maybe in that salaried position, you'd be able to buy a house right off the bat, whereas the commission position, you might have to season that job 2 years. So those are some two specific things to be aware of, just kind of in that time of life.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Is there anything that you want to plug? You know, I know you talked about the YouTube earlier, but like, where you guys work or any other resources you want to point out.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Jackson. I am in marketing. Like I said, I'm a loan officer with Cleveland Street Mortgage. I am excited to be having this conversation with Jackson, and I'm doing largely because I want to provide a good resource here. And I also want to, you know, my dad has a ton of experience in mortgage, 30 years of experience, and I work very closely with him and do deals for myself, certainly. But there could be nothing that I could speak higher of than my dad's knowledge in mortgage in the industry, and he does a great job and services clients well. So again, you know, company is Cleveland Street Mortgage. We try to provide a good ongoing resource of various topics within this industry on his YouTube channel, Mortgage Mastery Theater. And then I try to stay pretty active on LinkedIn as well. Either of those, would love to connect with anyone there.
All right. Well, thank you, Landon. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jackson. Really appreciate it.
And with that, I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Jackson Lecce, and this has been Caffeine Before Bed.